What's up, Atlanta? Happy Friday. A rare Friday jaunt between you and I, because the Hawks got a little b-ball to get underway at the top of the hour. So it's me and you on the phones. No guests, just your calls at 404-726-0929. Oren, I did some thinking today. Sometimes that's a good thing. Oftentimes, a lot of you out there would argue, not a good thing. But I did some thinking tonight. And this is what we're going to talk about on the phones at 404-726-0929. I have a poll up on Twitter. I put it out a couple hours ago. Got a good chunk of responses so far. So I need you to go respond and then to call in. On Twitter, at C Thomas Radio. What is the most important thing that the Atlanta Falcons need to do to win on Sunday? And I thought about, this is where I could get myself in trouble, because this is where I was really thinking, because there's a lot of things that the Atlanta Falcons need to do better than they have been, obviously. But I narrowed it down to four things. I'd like you to choose between one of the four, but if you really feel strongly about another option, that's more than okay too. But these are the four that I'd like you to choose from. Get the running game going is number one. Obviously, the running game has not been anywhere close to where it's needed to be over the last 3 weeks. Almost, not even almost, embarrassingly so. Getting the running game going activates the rest of the offense, and you don't need to have, as nice as it was to see, a Herculean effort from one Drake London in order to get themselves in a position to be an extra point away from tying the New England Patriots in the fourth quarter. So get the running game going is option number one. Option number two is the inverse. Stop Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor right now is having an MVP caliber season. He had a down week last week, but that's because Oren Danny Dimes turned back into a pumpkin and decided to throw five turnovers or cause five turnovers. They had six total. So stop Jonathan Taylor. The weakness of the interior of your defensive line has gotten exposed over and over and over again this season. Christian McCaffrey, that cannot happen again, where he gets 180 all-purpose yards. Can't happen. Jonathan Taylor is every bit as good as Christian McCaffrey. If y'all have not seen him, when he's healthy, he's been one of the best backs in the league since he got in here from Wisconsin. Problem is, he can't stay healthy. This season, he's healthy and he's on pace, yes, to even do better than our very own Bijan Robinson. So stop Jonathan Taylor right now is door number two. Option three, I was just alluding to it. Turn Daniel Jones over. Why is this important specifically? Well, it's specifically important this week because of what I just said. He got exposed last weekend as a quarterback that was more like the one in New York than he was in Indianapolis. And that was a guy who was a turnover machine and had critical errors in crisis moments. And that's what happened last weekend against Pittsburgh. So his confidence right now, you would think, even though they're still 7-2, is at the lowest it's been all season. So take advantage of that. We've had guys in this defense that are good at getting the ball. Xavier Watts, James Pierce Jr. We have guys that can do it. David Onyemata. Take advantage of a Daniel Jones being in as fragile of a state with his confidence as he's been all season. So that's door number three. And the final one, and the one that's leading the Twitter poll right now, Oren, and I don't think you'll be surprised when you hear this, don't beat yourself again. Because the Atlanta Falcons in multiple games this season have shot themselves in the foot to a point where it's cost them the actual game. Last week, the Tampa Bay game in week one, there's been multiple games this season where the Atlanta Falcons, between critical on-field mistakes, coaching errors, miscalled timeouts, misjudging of the play clock, all the things that have plagued Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson this season have actually cost you multiple games. Not downs, not series, not points, actual games this season. So there it is for you, nice and laid out. 404-726-0929. It's me and you for an hour on the phones. Again, I'll go through the choices. This is how we're doing it tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First of all, go out and vote on the poll at C. Thomas Radio, and then I want to take your calls. What is the most important thing the Atlanta Falcons need to do to win on Sunday? Get the running game going. Stop Jonathan Taylor. Turn Daniel Jones over, or don't beat yourself again. If I had to choose one, I'm taking the last one. Because this team has shown me the ability to hang tough with good teams. But what they failed to do is execute minor details in crunch time. Again, what they failed to do is when Dukesism, the light shines the brightest, they folded. Whether it's the kicking game, whether it's the quarterback throwing an intentional grounding when he absolutely couldn't have done that. There's just been these cataclysmic disaster plays that continue to haunt this franchise over and over and over again. So if you're going to hang, and I think they can, I'm going to tell you that the most important thing for this team, above all else, Ra, Zach, don't beat yourself again. Don't have a critical misjudging of a timeout. Don't fail to get the play in after a commercial break. Don't have your quarterback and your receivers not on the same page, not knowing the plays. David Sills, Michael Penix. You gotta be tight. You gotta be buttoned up. This team needs to play better situational football. That's why I think, out of the four choices I gave you, get the running game going, stop Jonathan Taylor, turn Daniel Jones over, or don't beat yourself again. I think because this team can hang, not beating themselves is going to be the most important thing. But what say you? Going to come back and take your calls for the rest of the hour, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. One last time, what is the most important thing the Falcons need to do to win on Sunday? Get the running game going, stop Jonathan Taylor, turn Daniel Jones over, or don't beat yourself again. 404-726-0929. We're talking Falcons, Colts in Germany. Coverage right here on Sunday morning, all the way through the flyover with yours truly on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. There can be only one solution for the Falcons to get their situation fixed in Germany. I gave you four options. Appreciate everybody who voted on the poll. It's at C Thomas Radio. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till the top of the hour. Hawks pregame comes your way then. I think I came up with the four biggest things. But if you disagree and you think it's something off the board, feel free to volunteer. But the ones I gave you the options to choose from, once again, and then we'll get to the busy phones, got full lines, so if you're trying to get through, just hang tight, 404-726-0929. What is the most important thing the Falcons need to do to win on Sunday? Get the running game going, stop Jonathan Taylor, turn Daniel Jones over, or don't beat yourself once again. 404-726-0929. Alan, you're in the game. Alan, go ahead.
Hey, Chris. How you doing tonight?
I'm great, man. What's up?
Oh, just driving through Atlanta traffic, enjoying listening to you.
God bless you, sir.
What fun. Going from Stockbridge all the way up to Woodstock.
Alan, did you see the report a couple of weeks ago, by the way, that said Atlanta no longer has a rush hour? It's 24/7 traffic.
They have a rush.
It's 24/7.
That kind of leads me into what I was going to tell you. I think we need to get the rushing game going. And some things I would like to see very much. Obviously, everybody knows we've got some problems on our offensive line. Some people hurt. and also a little bit undersized. So some, a couple of things. One, I'd like to see Charlie Warner in the game a lot as a blocker.
You know, he only got five snaps last week. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, I do. And Bijan got, what, nine carries?
It's not good enough.
So you look at that. So I'd like to see Charlie Warner in the game a lot. And I'd like to see Bijan and Tyler Allgeier in the game at the same time a lot. And the reason for that really is one of the things that I keep seeing is that other teams' linebackers don't just know what the play is going to be. They know where it's going. When they see Bijan lined up a certain way in a certain formation, they know where the ball is going, and they're downhill to him immediately. There's no hesitation. There's no, let me analyze this. Okay, they're in this. As soon as the ball snapped, I'm going there, and I'm going to hit him. And if you have Allgeier in the game, you have a, you can use him as a blocker. I'm sure he would not appreciate that, and I understand that. But you also can have him as, you know.
A decoy.
Not a decoy. Now Bijan's a decoy, and you're going to hand the ball to Tyler Allgeier when they're expecting Bijan to have it, and they're downhill to somewhere, and Tyler Allgeier's got the ball, and he can go.
Oh, yeah, no one disputes that. Alan, appreciate the phone call. Good stuff leading us off at 404-726-0929, and appreciate the kind words. Here's the thing. Running the pistol makes Alan's point so much more valid. Because when Bijan Robinson has to run and get his giddy up for 6 yards before he gets to the line of scrimmage and the defense, because we know the biggest problem with the Falcons' offense is predictability, is the guys and the linebackers and the linemen have all day to get to their spot. It's not even like Bijan can just out-athlete them because they know, to Alan's point, a lot of the times they're keying in on the play because the offense is so vanilla and so predictable that they're just moving to a spot. Who was it we saw do it? Oh, Oren, it was in the Carolina game. Remember that play from Derrick Brown where he threw Chris Lindstrom like a rag doll? And you know why he was able to do that? Because he knew what play was coming, and he started shuffling those big tree trunk legs down the line horizontally to get to a spot because he knew where the play was going. So by the time Chris Lindstrom tried to block him, Derrick Brown, who's, you know, 6'5", 360, had all that momentum behind him, and he's one of the strongest dudes in the NFL, and he tossed him like a ragdoll and made the play. So to Alan's point, that's a perfect example of what's going on with this team right now. It's not good enough. Scott's up next. What's up, Scotty?
Hey. So did we leave Zach Robinson in Atlanta? Oh, wait. Too wishful thinking. But, okay, so I've got three things real quick that I think would make this game a success. The Falcons are successful if they don't get beat in the red zone and they win in the red zone, meaning when we get in the red zone, we score touchdowns. We don't settle for these field goals or, you know, we fumble or do whatever we do. And if Jonathan Taylor is going to have a legendary game, okay, let's let him get his yardage between the 20s. When he gets in the red zone, we tighten up and we stop him there. I mean, I know it's easier said than done, but we have to win in the red zone. The second thing is, do you remember that game when Nick Foles and Tom Brady played in the Super Bowl and they ran that Philly special? Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
So that's what I think. That's what I would like to see here. I mean, I'm not saying get way cute or anything like that, but if we throw things and looks that they haven't seen before, I think that we can be successful. I'm not saying do something crazy like that, but let's, like the previous caller, let's have Tyler and Bijan line up in the backfield. Let's get creative. Let's throw some looks here. Let's run some trick plays. Let's throw things at them that they haven't seen before. If we do what we've been doing, we're going to get our tails handed to us. If we're that predictable again, we're going to get our tails handed to us. We've got to throw the kitchen sink at them. And the last thing is, I think we're successful. The coaching staff coaches like they have their hair on fire, meaning we got to be aggressive here. We got to coach like it's, you know, our coaches have their jobs on the line. We got to go for two at some point. We got to get aggressive here. We cannot be like a lamb going to the slaughter here. We've got to be the predator, and we've got to make it to where we're the predator going after the lamb, not the other way around. You know, because they're a better team than us on paper, but we've got to be aggressive here. We've got to coach like it. We've got to play like it. Thank you.
Scott, you know what? That's funny. Appreciate you checking in as always. There's a new Predator movie that's coming out this weekend.
I might go see it tonight.
I don't even know if Scott knew that. That's a really funny point that Scott made.
By the way, not to jump on his call here, but if they do everything that Scott was saying they do, I don't think it's going to be a lot of success.
Well, no, I think he was exaggerating.
Because
I don't need quarterback
trick plays.
Yeah,
all the time.
I don't need that. But like Oren, it's a good point because I mentioned this yesterday. It's worth repeating. I've heard Mike Johnson multiple times on the postgame show and on the morning shift just like salivate like a dog with a bone over any wrinkle that Zach Robinson has thrown in over the last couple of weeks. Like just traditional counterplays, pulling guards, sweeps, like anything that's not zone read right or left. So to Scott's point, yes, I don't need Philly, but something a little bit more than what we've been doing, absolutely. Otis is up next. Otis.
Yo, what's going on, Chris?
How you doing?
Hey, man, look. First off, this is comedian Otis Old Dog. I'm a local comic here in Atlanta. And I can't even write. First problem is, you know, you're right. They got to stop beating themselves, bro. They got to stop that. They continue to keep shooting themselves through and beating themselves week after week. But here's the thing about it all. I want to see consistency. I want to see you go 2 weeks in a row with a good game. I don't even care if they win at this particular point in time. It doesn't even matter to me much because I really don't think we're going to make the playoffs. But I want to see the coaching, the players, give me 2 weeks of a good game. Because what I've been seeing through this whole season, I see one good game, the second game been minutia. A good game, minutia. Now, last week, with the Patriots, that was a good play. They all played good. The way the trend has been going, it looks like this week is going to be real bad for us. I'm just, from what I'm seeing.
Well,
and one more thing I want to point.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more thing I want to point, good, is the formation, the pistol. Let me tell you something. I love the pistol formation. I like it. I love it. But guess what? I love eating hamburgers. But I don't want to eat hamburgers every day. I mean, can we get a little pizza? Hey, maybe like some curry chicken. Maybe something a little different. Like, can we get something where 80% of the formation, like, because it's so predictable. Like the last caller said, it's not hard to figure out what we're going to do when you're in one, when 80% of your play call is in one formation. We need a little bit more seasoning, a little more different flavor on this offense.
No, Otis, you're right, man. Thanks for checking in. That's exactly what I was just saying. Like, again, when you have a former NFL player who played at the highest level and played for the Falcons, hammering home that exact point every single week and then getting way too excited, more excited than he should be, about the most basic changes in formation, that tells you everything you need to know. Mike Johnson knows how to read an NFL playbook backwards and forwards. He did it for many years at a high level. And he's telling you, this is the issue. And I'm going to defer to the big fella because he is very articulate when it comes to breaking down football. He's one of the best in the business. And he knows exactly to Otis's point. I hear it every single week. It's clockwork on the postgame show before I take over on the flyover. Predictability is a word that we are sick and tired of hearing as Falcons fans with this offense, to Otis's point and to Scott's point and Allen's point. Everyone's been spot on today so far. Good calls to kick it off. Spencer's up next. Spencer.
How you doing, Chris?
What's up, Spence?
Hey, Chris, you remember you had that show right before the season started. You asked how many games were the Falcons going to win.
Sure do. And I said 11. What an idiot I am.
I was the first caller that night, and I said six. I said six. And you were like, wow. I'm not saying that you debated. You were like, wow, that's a shocker if it's six. But that leads me to my next point. Answering your question. It's twofold. coaching. It's a sound coaching game with basic, you know, cover all your basics, time management, getting the plays in, period. And the last point, Chris, running the ball, stop the run, that's basic football. They go together. If you can run the ball and stop the run, you will be successful in most of your games. You will have a winning season no matter what. All that stuff about red zone, people talking about blah, blah, blah. Formation, Mike, I listen to Mike every morning. He's not talking about the formation. He's just talking about the wrinkle out of the formation. Because they ran the wishbone forever. People ran the wishbone forever. But the wishbone had wrinkles. But you saw those three running backs and a quarterback. But they ran different things out of it. Same thing here. It's just the wrinkle Michael is talking about, like you said, the traps, the sweeps, the reverse, the misdirection. Out of, you can do that all out of the pistol. Anyway, but Chris, yeah, your 1 and 2, your selection 1 and 2, it got to go together. Because if we run the ball and can't stop Jonathan Taylor, the game, we're not going to win. And if we just stop Jonathan Taylor and we can't run the ball, we're not going to win with Pennant throwing.
No, you're right.
That's all I got.
Spencer, great stuff, man. And, wow, 6 wins? Yikes. Because you know what? He might be right. Spencer, good stuff, man. Great calls to start it off. I see we still got more on hold. We'll take you as soon as we get back. Jack and James, you guys are up first. If you're on hold, stay there. And then Orin and I will also make our picks as we hand things off to Mike Conti and Steve Holman. Bang for Hawks basketball. Toronto at home at State Farm on 92.9 The Game. I'm an idiot, Orin. I'm an idiot. Shouldn't have Riverside-ed yesterday, man. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till the top of the hour.
Got that game back. Happy about that.
Yeah, it's this is where we've been all season long.
If Gutter had scored that touchdown, I'd be 3 games up right now.
You know what? That's true. Orin's 19. We're both doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, Orin's 19-12, and I'm 18-13. It's neck
making
and
you
neck.
Money on this show.
Yeah, it's neck and it's better than some other shows are doing. It's better than some other show. I was about to whistle, but I'm laughing, so I can't do it right now. Yeah, but this show you can rely on. Not only good takes and good calls, but make you a little moolah on the side as well.
404-726-0929.
Orner and I are going to pick the Falcons and Dogs with Tech off this week coming up to wrap up the show. But a couple more calls before we get there. What is the most important thing the Falcons need to do to win on Sunday? I gave you 4 choices. Get the running game going, stop Jonathan Taylor, turn Daniel Jones over because he had 5 last week, or don't beat yourself again. Great calls in the first segment. Let's continue with Jack. Jack is up first. Jack, go ahead.
Hey, man. How's it going?
What's up, Jack?
Listen, I want to start off with some optimism. You know, this has been a really rough season, a lot of pessimism around the fan base, rightfully so. But can we just thank God that J.D. Bertrand is not playing on Sunday? Oh, my goodness. It feels like a dream. I mean, I'm so thankful I don't have to see that Guardian cap on the field. Other than that.
Hold on. Hang on a second. Unless I missed something, Jack, we got our final injury report today from Falcons PR. J.D. Bertrand is not on it. So. Unless
you're kidding me,
unless there goes that optimism.
Unless he's just not playing, and I don't know about it. Unless they benched him and I missed it.
Oh, I thought he was hurt, guys. I saw it on Twitter earlier. Oh, you ruined my day. No.
Yeah, the guys who were out are Leonard Floyd, Matthew Bergeron, and Storm Norton, according to the Falcons press release.
Oh goodness gracious. Well,
but I will tell you this: the optimism is the following. Here's the thing. The guy that they brought in, Ronnie Harrison, the converted safety, is playing pretty well. So I would expect him, even if Bertrand is healthy, to get the majority of the snaps.
Yeah, true, true. I think the only other thing we could do is somebody's got to lock Zach Robinson in his hotel room and run some play action, not out of the pistol. Please, I'm begging. I can't watch it anymore.
Well, unfortunately, Jack, and I appreciate the call. I did find the report, Orin, online. This is 2 days in a row. The internet has gotten either myself or a caller. I am seeing a report from a non-credentialed Falcons reporter that where he would have seen this. And that's unfortunate, guys. You got to, please, before you put stuff out online, please verify your sources. It happened to me yesterday. I got a little too, trigger finger got a little too happy there, Oren. I was talking to Bill Bender. I saw a breaking news report that Memphis's coach had accepted the job at Arkansas. And I was like, ooh, we got breaking news on the show. Let's go. And I was a little too fast on it. That was a trolling fan who you know what the problem is with that, Oren? These people, and again, this guy who put this out, I'm not going to give him the platform. They take the time, they make like the breaking news graphic. They have all the font. It looks exactly like as if like Rusty's on Three or ESPN was putting it out. You guys know what I'm talking about with the fonts and the breaking. Like, this dude is sitting in his mom's basement with Dorito dust on his fingers, making this graphic to go out there and just be an internet troll. Like, okay, bro, good for you. You got me. You feel good about yourself now, pal? So unfortunately for Jack, he got caught up in some of the similar stuff that I got caught up in yesterday. So please just double check. If it's Adam Schefter with three Fs, you know it's not true. If it's Ian Rappaport with three Ps, you know it's not true. So from all accounts, it looks like, I don't know if he'll get a lot of snaps, but according to the official Falcons injury report, J.D. Bertrand will be playing on Sunday. James is up next. James.
Hey, Turtle. How you doing, man?
What's up, James?
Yeah, I what I want to say is they just need to be ready to adjust. They need to start letting Pennies roll out some, man, because he's stationary. And then if it takes those receivers so long to get open, they probably need to chase him a little bit so they can get open, and then he can let that ball go.
Well, James, how frustrating was it to see Penix run out for that 15-yard sprint? I was like, whoa, dude, where has this been all season?
And when I saw it, I was like, I thought his knee was broke. I mean, somebody run like that after 2 weeks? Jesus. So, I think they don't, and they shouldn't give up on the run, man. All runners not the same. Some run better than others. Some of the teams they probably played had some good runners, but they probably wasn't no real good runners. They didn't have two runners. We got two. They need to let them boys do some pounding. I know the boy behind our second string running back, I know he's getting, Algier, I know he's getting tired of just looking. Let him get out there and hit some people.
Yeah, James, to your point, and I appreciate the call. There's been too many games, Oren and I have pointed it out over and over and over again, where Tyler Algier, four touches, five touches, one touch. I mean, listen, I know he can't get 15, 20 touches a game, but if he's getting work, that means that your offense is working, and that's the problem. So that goes to showcase you how many games this season, even the first game of the year, we're like, dude, Penix, we're glad that you had the game that you did, but you throwing it 40 times is definitely not the game plan. And that's exactly what happened. Miami as well. Penix throwing the ball more than 25, 26 times in a game. You don't want him throwing more than that. You want the running game to get the majority of the carries and the share. And to James's point, that, Oren, the more I've thought about it this week, the more that Penix sprint play actually has kind of ticked me off a little bit. Like, if that's in your arsenal, you have to use it. I'm sorry. Like, you can't play trying to preserve yourself. That's not how NFL football works. If you have that weapon with your legs, think about the amount of times they've been in like 3rd and 7 where he could have scrambled for a first down, and he just hasn't. I'm not saying every single time it's available for him, but there definitely were times where he could have tucked it, especially with that speed, man. He was chugging. He still got it. He just doesn't want to use it. He's basically mentioned as such, too. He's like, yeah, man, it's a part of my game, but, you know, I'm just out here to execute the offense, and the offense is not calling designed runs and scrambles for him, I would assume, out of a protection situation, because it certainly could be a useful part of the offense if they were to do it. All right, great job on the phones, as always. Appreciate the passion. I got a show tomorrow as well. Got another Falcons topic that we will digest, and I'll take your calls. I'll be on right about 4 o'clock, after the noon window of college football is over, and I'll be with you until 7:30, leading into the back-to-back of Hawks coverage. Tonight they get the Raptors. Tomorrow, Lake Show in town. That's going to be interesting. Who's going to step up? Is Reeves going to play? Is Luka going to play? I mean, it's somebody different every night. Is it going to be the Dalton Connects show? We'll see. All right, before we get out of here with a couple of minutes left, let's make our picks. Again, Oren 19-12 after a win last night. I'm 18-13. Let's start with UGA. We've been talking about this game all week. The number's 9.5 on the road, which is really big. I think Mississippi State can definitely throw it around the yard. I really like their quarterback shaping. But UGA needs some style points, man. They've had some close games the last couple of weeks. I think they need to go into this one and lay the wood. I'm going to say they do. So give me UGA minus 9.5 at Miss State, Oren.
Sorry there for the little pause. I said if there was ever a week to sort of bust out, it would be this week, even if it is a road game. It's an early game, a noon game. The cowbells will be in
11 a.m. in Starkville.
Yeah, 11 a.m. in the central time zone. So that being said, at some point or another, the dogs are going to stop burning me. So I'm going to pick them this week and hope that week is this week.
All right, so one for one, we are both taking UGA minus 9.5 on the road at Mississippi State. Here we go. Can we wait? Can we just like do? All right, we got to do it. Indy minus 6.5. They are quote unquote the home team versus the Falcons. Oren, I'll let you do this one first. I don't want to do it. Just you go ahead.
Oh man, making this pick is very tough because if I make this pick and I win,
it's a head heart pick, is what it
is. Exactly. I know everything that's going to happen after this. If I was to win this pick. That being said, we have slipped into the good team, bad team territory when making picks.
The Mike Bell special.
There you go. Good team versus bad team. And the Falcons right now are the bad team. Playing it out, I don't see very many scenarios where the Falcons win this game on Sunday. I guess it's a blessing that DeForest Buckner now is on IR, and he was the second leading sacker for the Colts right now. But we're going to see a heavy dose, man, of Jonathan Taylor, and that alone should be reason enough to make this pick. So give me Indy minus the 6.5.
Oof. The Falcons save their season in Germany. Goodness. Win the game outright and cover the spread. I am riversiding Oren because I said it this week and I need to stand by it. Dukes and Bell agree. I heard it again today. This is a must-win game.
If ever there was a must-win game.
Must win. All right, enjoy Hawks basketball. Talk to y'all tomorrow afternoon.
Night, 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 night,